Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
It's new Islamic war on Christians. If you've heard us on VFN Radio, we've talked about JJ. We want to listen, and basically it's Jews and Jesus, which is Christians and Jews, and how they're being persecuted. But we want you to listen to this segment on CBN, and when we return, we're going to share some more about it. Listen up.
I'm George Thomas.
And I'm Wendy Griffith. There's a war against Christians going on, but you don't hear much about it in the media. It's happening primarily in Islamic countries. Gary Lane spoke with author Raymond Ibrahim about the spread of persecution. But first, he gives us a look at this disturbing trend.
It's like an unrelenting drumbeat echoing throughout the Islamic world. Perpetual acts of violence and murder against those belonging to the Christian faith. In Egypt, security forces recently launched an unprecedented assault on Cairo's St. Mark's Cathedral. They fired tear gas into the church compound during a funeral service for Christians killed by rioting Muslims. Persecution is now a way of life for Egyptian Christians. Tens of thousands have fled the country since the Muslim Brotherhood rose to power. Pope Theodoros II told me earlier this year the Egyptian church will persevere.
Through the blood, the church will be alive, will be strong, will be effective in their societies.
In Pakistan, last March, an angry Muslim mob forced 170 Christian families from their homes after a Christian was accused of blasphemy. And the children of Asia Bibi still await the release of their mother from prison.
God will help us.
Asia faces execution for the charge of committing blasphemy against Muhammad. When Muslim co-workers criticized her Christian faith, Asia responded by telling them that Christ is the true prophet of God, not Muhammad. She's been in prison for nearly 4 years. In Iran, House church pastor Saeed Abedini suffers internal bleeding from the beatings and torture he's endured in Tehran's notorious Evin prison. His family and friends are concerned for his life.
My flesh wants to say he's not going to survive that prison.
In Iraq, Islamic extremists say their goal is to drive all Christians out of the country. While they once numbered as many as 1.5 million, today less than 500,000 Christians remain. Canon Andrew White is the Anglican vicar of Baghdad.
They had letters warning them to leave, and they were given a choice. Either you pay the jizya tax, or you convert to Islam, or we kill you.
In the new book, Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians, author Raymond Ibrahim suggests the world is facing a growing human rights crisis. It's come in the aftermath of the so-called Arab Spring, and Christians are the primary victims. Author Raymond Ibrahim joins us now with more on the war against Christians. Raymond, you've called the persecution of Christians a humanitarian crisis. Explain, why that?
It's a humanitarian crisis because all around the Islamic world, from one end to the other, from Morocco in the west, Indonesia in the east, Christians are being persecuted first and foremost just because they're Christian. It's a humanitarian crisis, and in my opinion, one of the worst, if not the worst, because no light has been shed onto it by the mainstream media and by many humanitarian rights organizations, because apparently Christians are just not popular enough to talk about them. I mean, when they go to a church just to pray, and they're already politically ostracized, they're minorities, they have no power, and then they get bombed, the conclusion is this is just pure religious Islamic hostility for a non-Muslim. And so it's very difficult for the mainstream media to actually, you know, rationalize that the way they do with other Islamic violence. So Muslims are attacking Israel. Well, that's because they're frustrated, they're angry, they have grievances. Muslims attacking the West or in Europe, they're angry, they're underdogs. But now here's they're in the majority, and their minorities are being attacked in way worse ways from a humanitarian point of view than Muslims are by Israel or by the United States. And so it kind of throws a wrench in the mainstream media narrative.
What role does Islamic teaching play in provoking greater violence?
It plays a fundamental role. If in the book, for instance, or what I discuss about what's happening to Christians, I don't just discuss the different themes and patterns. So, for example, I'll talk about churches being attacked, bombed, and outlawed Muslims who wish to apostatize and become Christians being attacked, executed, Christians saying the wrong word about Islam, blasphemers being attacked. So all these themes come out. And yet, if you go back, as I try to do, and you look at the historical sources and the doctrinal sources from over a millennium ago, you're going to find the same exact teachings. So the continuum or the continuity is just undeniable. And that's why it's, you know, if you want to be honest, what's happening right now is just a mirror reflection of what happened yesterday. And therefore, it's part of the authentic teachings of Islam.
As you mentioned in the book, that there was a golden age of Christianity, right, about a 100-year mm-hmm. period. Then it came to an end. Right. Why did it come to an end?
In the West, our culture took a nosedive in the 60s. And it's no coincidence that the Islamic fundamentalism and 1979 revolution comes on the heels of the sort of liberal takeover of American mainstream culture. And so when America became much more liberal and apologetic for itself and multicultural, and it saw its own heritage as a source of all ills, that naturally created revulsion to Muslims, who then emboldened, said, you know what, our way is the right way, the Islamic way. And so that's really the resurgence of Islam, and that's why it started.
And this persecution is so intense, the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom has warned that there is an unprecedented exodus of Christians from the Middle East. Right. If it continues, they say, in Afghanistan and mm-hmm. Egypt, no more Christianity there. Right. What are your thoughts? How can we reverse that?
How we can reverse that? That's the question. The first way, of course, is knowledge. Most people most Americans, because of the mainstream media's underminings, are very ignorant about the reality. So the first thing, of course, is to get people to know. And then naturally, if people know and if they care, that they will reach out to their representatives. And there's also a lot of human rights organizations that do focus on this. But we just need to get people on board by first explaining the narrative to them.
And so what you're hearing is this is a serious thing that's happening. This is a serious thing that's happening that's got no attention at all. And that's why they were seeing the persecution of Christians in Muslim countries as a humanitarian effort. What this gentleman was saying.
That's horrific.
It's absolutely horrific. It's absolutely horrific. And as we're coming to the end of the first hour, when we come back in the extra hour, we're going to talk more about this. And we're going to talk about what we can do as believers to pray for fellow believers in these countries. Listen, we want to pray. We want to be alert. We want to know what's happening. We want to pray for them as we would want someone to pray for us. We're just talking about and listening to a segment that we played on CBN, Crucified Again. It's the new Islamic war on Christians. And we're seeing, you know, unprecedented attacks. And you're seeing this. And the mainstream media doesn't seem to be covering this at all. And in particular, you're seeing the Muslim Brotherhood, who was given access by this president and his administration. And they were where he spoke in Egypt, in Cairo, Egypt, when he gave his speech, I believe, in 2009 and invited the Muslim Brotherhood against the suggestion of the president of Egypt at that time, Mubarak, who's no longer president of Egypt because he was overthrown by the Muslim Brotherhood. Now the Muslim Brotherhood is persecuting Christians in Egypt by the thousands. But it's not just happening in Egypt. It's happening in Morocco. It's happening in Indonesia. It's happening in Iran. And we're seeing pastors like Abedini Saeed,
right,
who's in Evin prison, who is still in Evin prison, who has an internal bleeding. This is in Iran. Also, Pastor Youssef, who was just released not too long ago after serving, I believe, 3 years in prison, mm-hmm. in an Iranian prison for evangelizing. And now we heard about Asia, mm-hmm. a woman who has been in prison 4 years for boldly proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. I look at these brothers and sisters of ours as absolute heroes of the faith. I'm not worthy Mm-mm. of their presence.
No.
Listen. Knowing that they would be persecuted, knowing that it could cost them their life because it's cost others their life,
right.
Their gathering places, their fellowships have been torched and bombed, and yet in the face of that, where they are an oppressed minority, mm-hmm. they're willing to stand boldly for Jesus Christ. and suffer whatever consequences that comes with his glorious name. Let me tell you, this is the type of resolve that we need to have as believers here in the West.
Mm-hmm.
This is the type of resolve that we need to have in the boldness to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, that no matter what, we're going to stay true. No matter what, we cannot, will not deny him, his existence, his power, and his love. And no, we will not remain silent. We will share it with the whole world, even mm-hmm. if it costs us everything. Even if it costs us everything. Yeah. You must be willing. And I look at them with just great honor and respect what we can do here in America, those that can freely worship the Lord, those who can freely worship God without persecution. It's amazing what you can take for granted.
Yeah.
You know, some believers' homes have 5 and 6 and 7 Bibles. Yet George Barna tells us in his research that only 19% of believers are actually abiding in the Word of God. That means that 81%, with no telling how many Bibles are in their home, in their cars, all over the place,
mm-hmm.
and they're not even reading them.
Right.
Yet our brothers and sisters around the world are being absolutely persecuted and tortured for Jesus.
That's right.
For Jesus. We can stand with them. And I want to encourage you to listen to a segment. We'll have this related for you here on The Torch, called JJ, Jesus and the Jews. And we talk about that this is what you're seeing in radical Islam. You're seeing the persecution of the Jewish people, those in Israel, and the Christians. You're seeing the Jews. And so we want to stand for truth. We want to realize that, listen, you know, this is, the Quran teaches this. The Quran teaches, and you can look again on The Torch, Quran versus the Bible. You can do a side-by-side comparison, but there's three options. Either can convert,
mm-hmm.
go into servitude, what the Quran teaches, or off with your head.
Yeah.
Off with your head. I mean, their symbol is a sword.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to see, you need to understand, get some truth on the inside of you and see for yourself and hear for yourself and get a revelation for yourself to know exactly what is happening, because it's very, very important. It's very important. And the other thing that we can do is, you know, I want to challenge you today. You listen to VFN Radio, and you're hearing about persecution, and you know, we can fall into a rut
mm-hmm.
that says, you know, oh, poor brothers and sisters, Lord, bless them,
mm-hmm.
and we just can go on in our merry ways.
Right.
But why not? Why not today? Write down in your journal, your prayer journal, your abiding journal, that you're going to pray. That you're going to pray for persecuted believers in Egypt. That you're going to pray for persecuted believers in Iran. That you're going to pray for persecuted believers in Indonesia and in Morocco and in China and other places around the world. That you're going to stand in the gap for them. Listen, when these are our brothers and sisters, and as we continue to pray, listen, the rise of Islam, according to what we just heard, came on the heels of what was happening in the 60s here with this revolution, social revolution, this mm-hmm. whole movement of liberation. And my goodness, it emboldened them to say, America's just lost. Mm-hmm. Is that what they want? We're going to go stronger and harder. And it happened because of us. Let me tell you, we want to see, we are believing for a great move of God. But we got to turn our hearts back to the Lord. We've got to get right with God. We've got to humble ourselves, repent, right? 2 Chronicles 7:14, and turn from our wicked ways, acknowledge them as sin, and say, Jesus is Lord. We want a blessed nation, but we're not going to get a blessed nation. Revival starts. You know where revival starts? It starts in your heart first. That's the first place where revival starts, in your heart. All it takes is one. We talked about the young people yesterday in Pennsylvania that had a Bible club, 600 students, and people wonder, you know, can I make a difference? Listen, a raging fire starts with one match.
That's it.
The question is, are you willing to be the match? Are you willing to keep your flame going even when you're in the midst of the darkest areas when there's no other light around you. And we often say, and I often say, that light belongs in darkness. But it appears that a lot of believers like to take their light and gather it around other light. The light belongs not around other light. The light belongs in the darkness. And from the darkness, it needs to shine out. But if we do that, and if we allow our flame, if we become keepers and guardians of the flame, there's a fire that can start. There's a fire that can start that will be a raging fire. And then we're talking about revival. We're talking about the Great Awakening. We're talking about souls. We're talking about and nations. Hopefully we can talk about this today on the radio today, how nations can be won in a day. Nations in a day. Increase your vision. But it's going to happen when we get outside of, and I'm talking to, you know, Americans in the West, right? Believers in the West. And we get outside of an American mindset that limits the gospel, that no, we are citizens of heaven first before we're citizens, right, of America.
That's right.
That it's a godly kingdom, and we have brothers and sisters in different countries that are right now standing firm for the truth, and it's costing them their entire lives. It's costing them everything.
Yeah.
The least we can do is stand with them, the heroes of the faith. I'm in awe of them.
Yeah.
And say, listen, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray that God would strengthen you. We're going to pray that you continue to stand firm. You know, I was just thinking about this. In Vietnam, and I forget the person's name at the time. He was a revolutionary in Vietnam, and maybe it'll come to me. But they were being pounded. And he said, if they keep hitting us harder, and I'm paraphrasing, we're just going to get stronger. I mean, you look at some of these revolutionists from all, I mean, they
was it during the Vietnam War?
I'm not necessarily sure. I think it was during that era, but during that time, and Ho Chi Minh, I believe his name is Ho Chi Minh. And the fortitude, the perseverance was absolutely amazing. And they said, if you strike us, you're not going to discourage us. You're not going to cause us to go away, but we're just going to make us stronger. You're just going to make us stronger. And listen, we need to have a backbone these days. We need to be willing to suffer and go through something, especially for the cause of Christ. When you think about all the Christian martyrs that have given their lives for the gospel, who refuse to back down, who refuse to deny Jesus as Lord, can we do any less in our generation? Can we do any less in the season that God has given us? We need to be like David. David, it said in the Bible, he served his generation well.
Yeah. Ho Chi Minh, he's actually he was a revolutionary back in 1941 and helped defeat the French that were apparently attacking them or occupying. I'm not sure exactly the
right,
details.
Right. Well, it's just amazing. You know, it's just amazing. And it's really just in America that we've been so comfortable in our convenience, in our technology, in our luxuries. And let me tell you, if you're not willing to go through something, you got to be willing to go through something. And if you're not willing to go through something for Jesus, you're not going to be willing to go through anything for anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to tell you that we're living in a time and in a season that's going to take everything we have. It's going to take us to be so focused because, you know, times are coming. Difficult times are coming ahead. And especially when you look at what's happening with Israel, as goes Israel, so goes the church.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not praying now, believe me, you will have plenty of reasons to pray later, but why wait for later?
Yeah.
Why wait for later when you can begin now to change the course of history by being an intercessor, one that stands in the gap? You know, someone once said, what's the greater honor, to speak to men on behalf of God or to speak to God on the behalf of men? Let me tell you something. Prayer changes things, and when we pray God's will upon the earth that he's given us dominion over, listen, that's a prayer that God can answer. You know, all true prayer starts in the heart of God. It allows us to touch us in our heart, and then we pray it back up to him. It's a continual circular motion from God's heart to our heart, to pray back up to God, from God's heart to our heart, goes, you know, right back up. And we want to stay in that continual flow of intercession, because it's when we only cry out to God in humility, in brokenness, and in the heart of repentance, we're going to see a tremendous, tremendous move of God. So I want to encourage you, listen, don't let our brothers and sisters around the world, let them encourage us. Let them fan the flame of our hearts and say, listen, how can we do any less? Refuse to allow borderlines of countries to separate you. There is no borderlines in Christianity. Listen, those are our brothers and sisters in Egypt. Those are our brothers and sisters in Morocco and all these places that in Iran that they're being persecuted in.
Right.
Those are our brothers and sisters. But if we stand with them, my goodness, if we stand with them, we're going to see the salvation of the Lord. We're going to see it. It's going to happen all across the world.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.